Yeah, I don't ever edit it.
Yeah.
I feel like that'd be weird.
Yeah, for sure. That
I feel like
lowers the quality significantly.
Totally.
Okay, I'll use my radio voice.
Okay. We can both do it. No, my radio voice is terrible. I don't have one. All right. Okay, so what I think is super interesting, I'm already using a radio voice, and I said I wouldn't, about the album is that sort of right off the bat, you label it as one thing, which is, I don't know, like the title track off the album is called Impersonator. The album is called Impersonator.
Mm-hmm.
But as you listen to it more, it sort of becomes clear that that is sort of a huge contradiction to like what you're actually saying and how you're expressing yourself. Like, I feel like it's a really pure way of expressing who you are. So in what way does Impersonator play into the album or your music?
Okay. The answer to that question is always sort of rambling, because...
That's fine. Ramble away.
Okay. I think, in a nutshell, the intention behind the music and the lyrics, what it is, you know, they're written from a subjective point of view,
yeah,
and they're kind of about feelings, not really... telling stories. The extent to which they tell stories is when the psychology of the song is like a narrative.
Right.
But for the
like
most
childhood
part...
Like childhood end?
Yeah, exactly. But it's still sort of impressionistic. It's not really...
it's not literal.
Yeah. So it's... And all of this is things that I've felt in retrospect. It's not like I approached writing the music like that with these ideas in mind.
Right, right.
But the songs are kind of about, to a certain extent, about identity and about appearing to somebody in a certain way.
Yeah.
And appearing to yourself in a certain way, and sort of, they're about hoping for, you know, Some of the songs are sort of like, the lyrics are about aspiring to be something different.
Right.
Or sort of aspiring to know more about myself, or to have someone know me.
Yeah.
And
the way you know yourself.
So it's not necessarily, the name doesn't necessarily mean, oh, the person in the songs is not who they say they are, but it's more like... the person in the songs is singing and in process learning about themselves and is sort of preoccupied with how they appear to themselves and to other people. So it's
right.
Kind of like, I guess I was just interested in the idea that a person's identity is always so... is always kind of partially predicated on what they want to become or what they're
not.
And what
they're perceived as.
Yeah, or that, like, identity is... an aspect of identity is striving to overcome your identity.
Right, that's... yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I totally get that.
I guess that seemed to come out as an overall theme of a lot
of
the songs, and that was why... the album is called that.
Yeah, and I noticed in a lot of the songs too that they seem to take a certain like positive tone, and it seems like really like the foundation's positive, and then there's always like not questions, but there's sort of like elements of doubt, like negative doubt within the songs, but sort of the foundation's always like a positive one.
Yeah.
And then it sort of
totally.
I
think like that came out of the fact that when I wrote the songs, and probably still when I write songs now, it's kind of, there's a thing that I am thinking about, and writing the song is kind of like analyzing it or something.
Yeah, and then different things start to, yeah, you start asking different questions. Or,
and that I think I, without thinking about it, was writing songs that are sort of attempts at putting a positive spin on something,
yeah,
that is negative, or sort of writing the song in order to view a negative emotion or a negative experience from a distance, and
yeah,
in doing so to make it feel okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now that you've been, like, when you were writing that, it seems pretty cathartic. When you tour it now, and now that you've been touring it for quite a bit,
mm-hmm,
how do you sit with, like, how do you sit with the songs emotionally now after you are sort of revisiting those feelings every night?
Yeah, that's a good question, and one that I was asked a little while ago, because it's true, there's a certain amount of, when something is incredibly subjective and there's a narrator that is speaking behind the music and it's very personal,
mm-hmm,
it feel that by default that almost feels like it is stuck in a context that,
mm, yeah,
that is in a time and place, and so continuing to perform that music seems like it involves robbing that of its proper context and,
yeah,
sort of taking it on the road as a grotesque sideshow. And so, yeah, what does it mean? I think the songs, just from touring so much, have taken on these layers of meaning, and the songs now, and I think any music that a person tours behind that means something to them just acquires all these layers. There's the layer of what the song meant when I first wrote it, which is the, you know, the sentiments of the music, and then what the song meant as we started to perform it, and so,
mm-hmm,
what it meant for me to not only have written that stuff, but to communicate
to people.
For
the first time.
Yeah, exactly, or, you know, the first time, second time, third time, you know, like, all of those were new experiences where it was,
yeah,
like, nobody knew the songs, so I was the narrator speaking to them, and they were digesting it, they were receiving it as if I was telling it to them, and then we put out a record, and then this is the first time that we've done a full tour since it came out, and the first time that we've headlined a tour, and so now there's this third layer that's not, I'm no longer the subject speaking to the audience, and they're receiving it for,
yeah,
the first time. Some people maybe, but for the most part, I feel like most people that will come to see us have some degree of acquaintance
it's
with
sort
what
of
we
like,
do.
Yeah, it's their sort of second way of interpreting it too.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
You.
So now they're receiving it as a live manifestation of a recording,
right,
they've heard, and I'm now speaking it to them as this kind of, I don't know what it is. I mean, it's more literary or something. It's like,
yeah,
they know it, I know it, I'm speaking it to them. It's appreciated by both parties. And then now people sometimes can sing the lyrics because they're familiar with them.
Yeah.
And that is part of that third layer of experience where now it's almost something that is a communal thing where they know the words just as much as I know them.
Right.
And so singing them is more this process of appreciating the story or appreciating the sentiment or appreciating the fact that we're there performing.
Yeah, and it's a process for you, and it's also a process,
yeah,
for them who sat with the album themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So now it's sort of like the music has left our hands to a certain extent. It's out
totally
there.
Yeah.
And now we perform it, and then I feel like there will come a time, probably relatively soon, where it will be more the audience's than mine.
Right.
Like, I will kind of give it up.
Right.
And then it will just exist as long as it will, as these recordings, and people will then have that and make it their own thing.
Yeah.
And my relationship with it will,
yeah,
come to an end.
It's less of a discovery and more of, like, it's theirs now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Do you find that audiences, do you think that's sometimes lost in translation? Do you, like, is it hard for an audience to sort of grasp that honesty without Like, I read something you wrote on your blog about someone in Calgary who was, like, whispering and laughing about it. Like, do you think it's hard for people to, like... I think laughing's, like, always, like, a symptom of being nervous.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Is it hard for audiences to sometimes, like, watch someone being so brutally honest with themselves and the people they're performing to?
Yeah, I think... I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily see myself as being brutally honest or anything like that. I'm just singing the songs that I wrote and, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
But it's a brave way of approaching it. Like, I think that a lot of bands nowadays sort of, I don't know, you have a pretty honest literary style.
Yeah, or at least sort of just as attuned to the audience as they are to the people on stage.
Right, yeah.
In terms of my focus. But... oh yeah, okay, so in past tours I think that was a lot more, that was more so the case, at least so far on this tour it hasn't really been a thing, but in the past people would laugh as, like, I would look, you know, they'd be laughing and looking at me and I could tell that it wasn't laughing, they weren't laughing at me, they were sort of, it was just an unusual situation for them.
Yeah.
because on those tours we had never played for any of those people before.
Yeah.
And so when they came to see us it was sort of like, oh, I'll check out this band that I've heard, seen on the internet or something.
Right.
And then when they actually saw us play it was kind of jarring for them because it's a slightly unorthodox performance.
Yeah.
Style. And now I think that there's slightly less of that happening because overall, as I said before, people are acquainted with it to a certain degree.
Yeah.
So there's this whole different relationship with the audience that we have now on this tour because it's more about, there's a familiarity that's baseline and what we do from there is kind of, it's kind of different. It's not like having our half hour slot to be like, this is us, this is what's happening. We have the control over the night itself and it's just different. I mean, I can't even list the number of ways it's different, but it just feels very distinct from touring in the past.
Because, and you're headlining now, and I've also, with that, you said that you got to pick the music in between live sets, so do you sort of use that, not to manipulate, but just sort of, like, set the tone for what the evening's going to be?
Of course,
William Dasinski?
Cool. Yeah, William Dasinski. Yeah, tonight... My friend is actually DJing some ambient music because he wanted to DJ, but on most nights, it's stuff that we select, and William Basinski, we played at the Detroit show, I played that album twice, and it's an hour long, and it felt too much because it's such a overwhelming piece of music, Disintegration Loops. Yeah, and so now, before Moon King plays, we've played Radioactivity, the Kraftwerk album.
Cool.
And
that one's the best.
Finesse album, and I think World of Echo maybe once. And then when we play, I made this playlist that's like four songs, and it's like, what is it? There's a Tim Hecker song, and then a Dirty Beaches track from just all these like ambient things.
Yeah.
And then there's this Lamont Young thing where it's just these voices that are over a drone, they're doing different harmonies.
Oh shit, cool.
And when we played in Minneapolis, some reviewer reviewed the show and wrote that we put on feedback and that we fed back our equipment and then left it running for half an hour, which was not at all true. Yeah, so just want to set the record straight. There was some writing about how it was somehow resembled a strategy that Death Grips would embrace or something like that. And we're definitely a lot different than Death Grips.
Yeah, you appear at your shows. And
yeah, totally.
Yeah. Is that frustrating to read? Like now things are starting to be written about you more and more. Is it weird and frustrating? Because no, you can't like do a lot about it. Almost.
Yeah, I think when we first started getting press attention, it was exciting and it's easier to overlook errors in fact checking and you know what I mean, just
it's
like,
it's
we're getting mentioned at all, like my name spelled wrong, you know, like that was the joke. It was like Devin Walsh was this character that would come up, and I hated Devin Walsh because he seemed like such a douchebag. And but now it's just my name, and I don't have the luxury of having this alternate persona that I can blame. But yeah, now nowadays, I don't know. It's not frustrating. I guess I just feel a little bit less excited by getting press, just because it's been happening now, and I understand it less as a less as something that directly relates to me. It's like, oh, they want to write about me, how cool, and more as something that relates to the industry that I'm a part of, and the fact that those people need something to write about, and, you know, it's nice that they want to write about me, but I don't really take it as personally now. It's more like something that I want to do, but the end result, or the end goal, is not getting the press. It's doing the press so that people will hear about our band and come and see us play.
And not get your band. Is there anyone that has gotten the band yet that's written about you?
What does that mean?
Like, you didn't read and feel like, ah, oh, fuck. Like, I don't know.
Like, what does it mean to get the band?
Or that made, an like, maybe not an overall get, because I don't think that's possible, but, like, that it seemed that if someone came to your show, or that they personally, like, got something out of it and felt like it was...
Oh,
yeah.
Like, that has any journalist, like, been to our show?
that
has gotten something personal out of the music.
And wrote about it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
In a good way.
Yeah, totally. I think that's happened a lot.
Good.
And, like, that is the one thing, that's what you always hope for. That's the reason why you keep doing the press, is that you hope that you're actually going to be speaking to someone that likes your band and cares about your band, and that's the reason why they're doing it. And they're not doing it just because they need a story and they don't care about you.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not us, I swear. With all these variables with your show that can, I mean, there's always constants, but with anything that can happen, is sort of the thing, like, what you wear on stage, is that sort of a way of, like, having, like, a constant sort of comfort that you know is going to be the same every show?
I think that's definitely an element of it. It started off by being something that was a constant in my life.
Right.
That I would I started wearing this, like, a uniform and started having a more severe appearance because, I don't know why, just a change in my life, and it changed my psychology, and then I started doing that. And then when we started playing shows, I just felt that it was more useful to have a set appearance when we played, because I wanted the band to be something that was considered on every level, and not just a casual thing where we just get up and play.
Yeah.
It allows me to feel like I have a purpose as a performer.
Yeah.
And not to feel like I'm just messing around.
Showing up,
Yeah. So that does help it be sort of a constant in the midst of things changing, because in general, and especially so far on this tour, every show has felt so different.
Yeah.
And in terms of what has happened and the way that the audience has felt, I feel like as headliners, it has given us this freedom that I've just started exercising in ways that, I've started exercising in the sense of, depending on the energy of the night, if I feel like something unusual needs to happen, then something unusual will happen.
Like doing the show naked?
Almost. Yeah, exactly. That was something that I had been fantasizing about for a long time.
Is it weird to see something that you fantasized about for a long time actually, did it match your fantasy about it?
It kind of did. Actually, my fantasy was just pure nudity.
Right.
Which I want to do one day, but it just needs to actually have fit a purpose.
Yeah.
But in that case, it sort of matched. It was the least attended show of of our entire tour so far.
Yeah.
And it was at this pretty dismal bar. And so it was perfect.
Yep.
Because I didn't want to do something like that at a show that was well attended and that was kind of a cool show, because
yeah.
it would seem like a gimmick. But in that case, it was a bad environment, and I wanted to just take back control of the environment.
Right.
And I felt that the best way to do that would be to do something that would never happen in that place.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can say, this, we're unique, and we're not going to just sit in this box and play. We're going to do something that takes the attention back from the TVs
right.
to us.
TVs?
Yeah, there were TVs. Yeah, there were TVs.
Why?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's
yeah.
so silly.
Yeah, but that's what happens, you know. But on the headlining tour, it's been kind of, I've had multiple fantasies that I've been able to just live out because
yeah,
this is
a privilege to.
Yeah, this is the so far the time when the audience is most attentive, has the baseline interest, and is sort of open to what we want to do. And there's no one playing after us that needs to play, so we can sort of take our time
yeah.
if we want to. And it's sort of, you know, we'll do this tour, then we go to Europe after that, and then we're off for a while. I don't know how long.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of our
taking advantage of it.
Yeah, this is like, we did all the support tours, we put our record out, now we're doing this tour. Might be the last one for a while. So it's sort of like, why not?
Now's the time,
you
yeah.
know, yeah.
Totally. I've heard you liken a set as a musician as sort of a set to compare it to a set for a comedian.
Yeah.
Which is like, not that they're entertainers per se, but they're sort of using their humanity to entertain an audience.
Yeah.
Is that sort of what Magical Clouds is?
I think so. Yeah. Actually, did I say what you just said? Because I don't remember phrasing it quite that way.
Not like that.
I think that's a much clearer explanation of the whole thing. It's like that a comedian that is a good comedian, they put themselves out there on the stage, and they sort of reduce themselves to the most uncomfortable things
yeah.
about what it means to be a human being.
Yeah.
And they phrase it in such a way that it's funny and that it's not completely depressing.
Right.
And that's such
and
a
they
fine
achieve,
line.
Yeah, what they want without.
Yeah, exactly. But what is at stake, or what is on offer, is kind of their humanity, like, raw.
Yeah.
And then they spin it in ways, and they, you know, they use the right timing, and then it is a laugh.
Yeah.
And I think what my desire with this project has always been is something very similar to that, which is that what is on offer in the band is my sort of uncomfortable, shameful, at times, humanity.
Yeah.
And that everything is oriented around that. The songs are about things that, you know, it's real, and it's about things that are just as direct and kind of, this is me, this is who I am, this is what I think. I'm, you know, I'm a flawed piece of humanity. And then when we play, to not have anything get in the way of people digesting that
yeah.
fact. So when we play, it can just be me singing there. And it's not structured in the same way as a comedy set,
no,
but also timing and
critical.
Phrasing is a factor. But
yeah.
it's just like musical phrasing, and that those sentiments can be put into music that allows people to feel it not as something that is really depressing
right.
and weird.
What would the laugh be for the audience for you, ideally?
I mean, the laugh, the equivalent of the laugh is kind of the whatever it is that people get out of music.
Yeah.
You know? But I think that the comic thing seeps in somehow, because I think as we've gone on, more humor has injected itself into our performances in terms of between songs and things like
yeah.
that.
Or during songs. I've heard some lovely stories.
During
about
songs.
Audience members coming up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, totally. So, and during songs as well, because the music itself is really serious and sort of, there's not much humor when you listen to our music on record.
Mm.
It's kind of a pretty, the tone is set and, you know, within a certain range does not deviate. But when we play live, there's a lot more room for playfulness. And I think I wouldn't be able to do this, or I wouldn't be able to stand behind what we do if that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
Because I don't really like art that just shoves an emotion in your face and tells you to feel that way, because
yeah.
It's not interesting. I think it's more interesting when something has multiple emotions and makes you feel lots of different things. You know,
yeah.
Just like good comedy, it makes you feel sadness mixed with humor.
Yeah, a process rather than
you should feel
like this. Yeah.
And my a big part of who I am is humor and thinking of the world in absurd terms and thinking, you know, using humor as a device for understanding my life, just as making music that's more serious is a device. And I feel like it's felt more natural for me to have both go on
right.
in my life as a touring musician.
Sort of what we were talking about earlier about there's negatives, but there's always a way in
yeah.
the songs even just to make it a bit more positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would never want to play a show where, well, I mean, sometimes this does actually happen at shows because I'm not always in a good mood, but shows where it's just here are the songs and then it's super serious and then it's over and then that's it and then people are just like, you know, upset.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's always the best strategy. Sometimes it feels like audiences are asking for that.
Yeah, I think, yeah, if you just listen to the album twice and then come to a show, that you come with a certain expectation, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But sometimes it feels like that is what we need to do because, like, the tone of like, the night just feels like, okay, this is a serious night.
Yeah.
But then other times, the tone of the night is totally different. And
yeah, and it's nice to change people's expectations.
Yeah, yeah, totally. To have people unsure of who we really are.
Yeah.
You know?
And it takes them out of their comfort zone too.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
Much as sort of you are at the same time.
Exactly. It can be very easy to be incredibly guarded within the context of emotional, intimate music. It's just as much a genre as any other, and there's, you know, signifiers of that as well, of the sad singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
And I think digging too much into that and believing that to be fundamentally truthful all the time is a mistake.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last question. What like, with modern bands today, I feel like a lot of them are like, we're going to look like this while we play this. But I think what's really refreshing about Magical Clouds is that it's sort of, those two things don't feel separate. Like, when you ingest what, like, your music,
mm-hmm.
it sort of feels like you're creating, like, a feel, like, a palpable feeling or, like, an atmosphere, which changes sort of depending on, like, when it's listened to or, like, the context.
Mm-hmm.
As a musician, like, what's it like to know, to, like, that you've created a feeling for someone they may have not felt before or that they don't feel any other time when they listen to your music?
Yeah, it's certainly interesting,
mm-hmm.
and I feel grateful to have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
I think over the course of starting to work on the songs that are on this record and just having this project occur over time, I think what partially the spark that these songs came out of was that same sensation for me, that as I was making the music in sort of a feedback loop, I was feeling things, experiencing emotions that I hadn't experienced before. And I think that for me, probably led to making the music. So being able to give that experience to other people as well, it was really cool.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, when new emotional places open up in your life, you have new discoveries, and you channel that into all kinds of things, you know, into discoveries about who you are as a person, and, like, you know, what you feel about certain other people, and you can make things from it, make music or art, or, you know, make changes in your life. And the time around when I wrote this music was definitely one of those periods in my life, so if that can facilitate those feelings in someone else, then I feel like that's kind of one of those moments where you're like, be the change you want to see in the world, you know what I mean? Because I think that's important, being able to get a glimpse of yourself and have an ever more subtle understanding of who you are is important.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. What a dream.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool. Great. What a lovely answer.
Yeah, that was a really fun interview.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it was sweet.
I hope so.
Yeah. No, I... Sometimes... The best possible way that an interview can go is when you think of things in the course of talking that you had never thought of before,
yeah,
or are able to position your thoughts in a really weird way.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was definitely one of those sometimes doing interviews.
How'd you get your band name?
Yeah.
Childhood's End. Can you see me?